IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear brothers and sisters from across the globe Welcome to yet another episode of your program The Viewpoint Here we are after a while So we are so psyched to be here But I'm not alone in the studio I am joined by my dear brother Brother Muhammad Assalamu alaikum dear brother
Alaikum assalam Thank you for inviting me to IRIB
Thank
brother.
You so much for accepting our invitation And it's an honor to have you here all the time
Appreciate it
Thank
honor
you
is mine.
Thank you. And on the left side of mine, I do have the pleasure to have dear brother Sheikh Liaqat. Assalamu alaikum, dear Sheikhuna, and welcome.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you so much for inviting.
You look fit as well, dear brother.
Ahsante.
MashaAllah. We often say the word or the phrase, Islamic phrase, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for us. And he's the best of the guardian. But what does it really mean to live by these words? Is it only a phrase we recite in different situations and times, or can it become a way of thinking and living every day? This is the topic that we are going to tackle, inshallah, today by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'm going to start a conversation by asking my dear brother Sheikh Liaqat that trust in God, dear Sheikhuna, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more than a phrase, we all know it. It is a way of seeing the world and responding to life's challenges because it works practically, right? When we want God, someone, this supernatural entity to help us and feel this help in our daily basis. But how can Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil, this doctrine that Allah is sufficient, Allah is our supporter, our guardian, become a practical way of life rather than just being a word that just we just, you know, do the lip service and we just repeat it all the time?
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A beautiful question. I would like to start with the Holy Quran itself by asking the question that is why is this Holy Quran revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and why did the Holy Prophet recite it to the people and why do we recite the Holy Quran? If this becomes clear, then the answer to your question also becomes clear. The reason why the Holy Quran is revealed is for us to implement upon it, isn't it? This is very clear, yeah? So when the implementation and the practical aspect of the Holy Quran is reflected in each one of our lives, then everything starts to change. Yeah. You know, you must have heard, like, there is one which is called Quran al-Samit and one is Quran al-Natiq, isn't it?
What is the English term for
it? The Quran al-Samit, the silent Quran, that is the Holy Quran, what we have. With us and the Quran Natiq, the speaking Quran, that is the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wassalatu wassalam. And it is also said if we want to turn the Holy Quran into a person format, then it would become the Ahlul Bayt, the Imams alayhi wassalatu wassalam, the Holy Prophet, isn't it? Yeah?
Sure.
So why? Because each and every single verse of the Holy Quran is implemented by the Ahlul Bayt the way it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the problem is with us, like we are not implementing the verses of the Holy Quran in our lives. When you say Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil, anyone, okay? When I say Hasbunallah, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is sufficient for me, is enough for me, then do I mean it in my life? In every single aspect of my life, what I mean? Or is it, people normally say, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. When they are in a trouble, when they are stuck, and you see? But not in like every single aspect of life, not in every single second of their life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient, really. If something pops up, if you lose some of your money, if you, if you have, if a person gets angry upon his family member,
sure.
Okay, or he gets hurt. Okay, will he implement this in his life or not?
Beautiful. So what is Sheikh saying, and I'm understanding from his word, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all these ma'sumeen and the prophets, they're all there and here as well, witnessing our actions. But it's us. It depends on us whether we're going to, you know, block this connection to use their, and implement, as the Sheikh beautifully said, their teachings, or we're just going to just, I don't know, ignore those. So, dear brother Muhammad, where does reliance of God in your life place? Like, what is God to you when you want to, you know, put it in action in your personal life?
Well, brother, I'm going to emphasize on supplicating to God rather than seeking help from and assistance from other people.
Beautiful.
There is a very fine difference. When you ask for favors from other people, there's always a string attached. Mm. At the very least, there is a level of patronizing, you know, projected towards you. But when you ask from God, it's such as ask from God, it's such a beautiful thing that the you know that he's the most acceptance. He's the most repentant. You can return to him at any shape, form, or at any state of your life. Mm. And he's so easy to ask for. There is nothing to be given in return. Sheikh really, he covered all the aspects of it theologically. But we see this in the life of our martyr leader as well, Imam Khamenei, how he never bowed down to any superpower for help.
Indeed.
You guys remember, if you study the history, what happened with the life of the previous leaders attaching themselves to other superpowers rather than God, and what they brought upon the nation was destruction and humiliation.
You're talking about the last regime,
the last regime, Pahlavi regime, the Qajar regime, disintegrated Iran, gave a lot of territories, various strategic points on the map, Azerbaijan, Armenistan. This is all the signs and the ramification and all the bad aspects of relying on others than God. But when you rely on God, you have, you know, it projected in the life of our leader. Mm. He truly relied and supplicated to God. And what it brought us, dignity, it brought us wealth, health, and a lot of good things in life.
Progress, a lot of progress is seen today in Iran, which has not been seen during the time of Shah.
Maybe I'm just getting ahead of the topic and the discussion.
It's beautiful.
But it's beautifully said.
I want to emphasize and highlight what you said in the beginning of your talk, that always when you want to have a connection and ask someone else a favor, there's always this attachment. It's like as if there's a trade-off. As if you say, if you scratch my back, I scratch yours. You have to give me something in return.
Exactly.
That doesn't work other way. So we do not have this relationship with God. Like, God does not want anything from us if we wanted to have something. For example, God, give me a motorcycle. Mm. I need one right now. Give me something beautifully. So God just is going to give it anyway, or he has some expectation from us as well.
In fact, Sheikh can affirm to that. God wants us to only worship him. And that's it. That is actually beneficial for ourselves, spiritually, psychologically, and mentally, and even physically, you know. And
so it's for our favor as well.
Our favor. God is all giving. God wants us to return to him for our own benefit. So there is nothing actually we can do for God. We say in the Quran, in the holy chapter of Tawheed, Ikhlas, Allahu Samad means God is self-sufficient. There is no need. He doesn't need us. We need him.
Sure. Beautiful. And dear Shaykhuna, Brother Muhammad mentioned the last regime and Shah, Muhammad Reza Shah. I remember in two separate occasions, he ran away from the country.
Mm-hmm.
Like when there was this trial and turbulence within the political sphere in the country.
Yeah.
He just ran away, and by the help of the United States, if I'm not mistaken, correct me, he just came back.
Mm.
And I think his so-called son is seeking help from not only the United States, but also these baby killers, genocidal regime of Israel as well. But again, I remember Shah, the very Shah, paid visit to Imam Hussein's holy shrine, Imam Reza's holy shrine, people call him sometimes at the time. I read in the book, a Shia or something like that. He called himself a Shia, a Muslim. But he didn't act like it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You know, this is a vast topic which you're talking about it right now and which you're touching about it. The thing is, the question again over here is, if a person claims himself that he is the lover of Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam, and he goes to the holy shrines, just like in Arba'een, mashallah, we see millions and millions of people going to the holy shrine of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam, are they really Shias in the first place? Or are they lovers? Even are they lovers? Like, actually, you see, someone who claims himself as a lover, like example, the Shah, okay? By name, maybe he's called like a Shia, okay? Because his name is also Reza as well, okay? Which is upon the name of the 8th Imam, alayhi salatu wassalam. So if someone claims himself that he is the lover of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi wassalam, is he really the lover? No, loving Ahlul Bayt, alayhi wassalam, carries a weight on our shoulder, which we have to follow in order to prove ourselves that we are the lovers of Ahlul Bayt. And then the spectrum rises higher, and then comes the Shias of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. They are lovers who are different, they are Shias who are different. And now there are people who claim themselves lovers and Shia, but they are not lovers, nor they are Shias of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. This, we have seen this a lot of times in history. Sure. Like example, people used to come near Imam Hussein alayhi salam. You know, like the son of the second caliph, Abdullah ibn Umar, okay? He comes to Imam Hussein in Makkah and he's like, you want to go to Kufa? You know, the way is like, it's going to end you, your life, yeah? So don't go to Kufa. Then Imam was like, no, I have to go to Kufa in order to do Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. I have to exit Makkah. So he starts crying. He was like, Ya Aba Abdullah, now that you have made this firm decision, let me kiss the place on your chest where I saw Rasulullah kissing. Beautiful. He cries and he kisses the chest of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. But the question rises, is he really a lover of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? Or is this enough, just kissing the chest of Imam Hussein or the zari of Imam Hussein?
And accusing yourself from not helping Imam and going all the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Around.
It's like he's leaving his Imam. Now, Shah, even if he goes to the shrine of Imam al-Rida or Imam Hussein al-Islam or kissed the zari of Imam al-Rida al-Islam, is it sufficient for him?
It's not.
Or did he leave the teachings of Imam al-Rida and Imam Hussein al-Islam? This is the main question,
reminds me of the story that they used to say, you shuyukh in the seminary used to say that the Shemr was a veteran of the battles of Fain, but he just committed the worst crime ever. So, dear brother Muhammad, every leader places their trust somewhere, right? For example, some presidents, as you know it and I know it and everyone else knows it as well, brag about their jet fighters and B-2s and, you know, the warfare and everything they have got in their tweets and whatever. But on the other hand, we had our supreme leader, the late martyr Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, that showed reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instead of depending on foreign powers or external supporters. Not like the, you know, JCC, you know, countries around us, these Arab states as well. So when I listen to his speeches, despite all the threats, like from the nuclear, you know, owners and countries like that, he was reciting the Holy Quran's verses. Really? He was really calm. Thank you so much, both of you. I was delighted listening to you, and when I was like blast listening to your beautiful wise and gems spreading here in our studio. As we reflect on these questions, dear audience, brothers and sisters, let us think not only about what this powerful phrase, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil, really means, but also about how we can put it into practice, inshallah, soon. So please, till another episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Keep us in your prayers. So full of love and
show that you're the one who cares the most. And to us, you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, except Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها لنا يوم القيامة. أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها